Unlike slavery in America, which was based on race, slavery in the Bible was not based on race. As we look at slavery in America, that there was the dehumanization of a specific race of people, and they were touted as second-class citizens. They were touted as deserving to be slaves, and it was said that this was their lot in life, to serve as slaves to the rest of the world. And that was the attitude and philosophy in America. And so we can't look at Americanized slavery and equate that to the slavery that's talked about in the Bible.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his series, Mending the Fences of Broken Relationships. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the introduction to Mending the Fences of Broken Relationships.
You don't know what this guy did to me. He was one of my slaves. He ripped me off. He made me look bad in front of my wife, my son, in front of the whole church, and he made me look like a fool. But you've been forgiven. You've been forgiven. You have faith in Christ, and you have been forgiven. And need I remind us that Jesus said that our forgiveness is based on us forgiving others. Now, I know that we can get theologically technical, and I can, you know, we talk about, well, you know, when you get saved, that he does, you know, forgive you, and you, you know, you're forgiven. I understand that. But I'm talking about as we walk with him on a daily basis, that our forgiveness is based on us forgiving others. Our fellowship with God is established as we forgive others. The third thing he says in verse 6, that the fellowship of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. This brother he was filled with good things. You see, you know, Paul is hitting him up, man. You know, Paul is making it very hard for Philemon to not forgive Onesimus. Look, man, you are filled with good things, every good thing. And so, you know, it's one thing to have good things in your heart and talk about all the good things you got in your heart. But now it's another thing for somebody else to see the results of the goodness that's in your heart. It's another thing for, you know, you to be this virtuous person, for you to be this good-hearted person, and you go around and you think about all the good things that you can do. But until you actually extend the goodness that's in you to others, it doesn't mean a whole lot. And Paul says, Philemon, put that goodness in your heart to work. The goodness that's in your heart, put it to work. You know, we are teaching a class, and Philemon, you are going through the class. At the end of this class, we are going to have a final exam, and we want to see how you do on the exam. That here you are coming to class week after week, hearing sermons preached week after week, piling up all this goodness in your heart. You've come to class the whole semester, and then you leave. And here's the opportunity. Here comes your test. Here's the opportunity for you to put that, all that goodness that's in you, here's the opportunity for you to put it to the test. And what was Philemon's test? Philemon's test was, would he receive and forgive Onesimus? And then he said that Philemon had a desire to minister to others. Verse 7, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the hearts of the saints are refreshed by thee. This word refreshed, very interesting word, means to be ministered to. That the hearts of the saints have been ministered to by Philemon. Philemon, look at all these people that you minister to. Look at all these individuals that you've ministered to. Let me add one more to the group. Let me put Onesimus in that too. So in all these people that you're ministering to, make sure that you minister to Onesimus when he comes back. So saints, we have the power to mend broken relations. We have the power. And that's what Paul was telling Philemon right here. He said, you have everything that's in you to mend these relationships. Now, I can see it getting uncomfortable for some of us. You know, I tell people, I remember when I first got saved and my wife and I would go to church. And the preacher would be talking about husbands and something that husbands should be doing. And I knew I wasn't doing it. And I'd say, man, I wish he'd hurry up and move on to something else. I wish he would move on to another topic. You know, so you might want me to move on to another topic, but we're here for the next 3 weeks, next 4 weeks. So if I don't see you, then I know what happened. so he lets Philemon know that you have everything that you need to minister to Onesimus. You're not short in any area. Now, the thing is whether you want to do it or not. It's there. It's in you. Now, let me stop for a second and maybe ask this question. Let's just go back. And you ask yourself this question. Do I have a loving heart? Do I have a realization of forgiveness? Do I have a heart that's filled with goodness? And do I have a desire to minister to others? Now, notice, when I say minister, I'm not talking about you have to be a deacon or a pastor. I'm just saying, the Lord provides opportunity, do you reach out and minister to others? Is this in your heart to do? Okay, well, if it is, then you have what you need to take care of this situation. Now, maybe if you can't take care of the situation, it's because you need to work on one of these right here. You know, I don't know, you know, as we go in through the series, I'm going to talk a little bit more how you can work on it, but maybe you need to establish today that this is something I got to work on, that you don't know what this person did to me. You know, Philemon, wouldn't you have liked to have been in on that meeting? You know, here was Philemon and Onesimus in Colossae. And here is Paul in Rome, about 1,000 miles away. And Onesimus rips off Philemon, tries to get as far away as he could to the biggest city he could find. Why? Because if he got to Rome, he could mingle in with the crowd, right? And people might not say, hey, man, that's Onesimus, man. Oh, Philemon is looking for him. So he could mingle in with the crowd. And he gets to Rome, and who does he run into? But Paul. And you know, I can't imagine how that conversation must have went. And how that, you know, Paul was probably ministering, and he led Onesimus to the Lord. And then he said, hey, Onesimus, where you from? Well, I'm from Colossae. Man, you know, I got a good friend in Colossae. His name is Phi. We call him Phi, man, you know. Do you know Phi? Oh, no, Phi. I don't know who that is. Philemon. Man, he has a church in his house. Man, he has slaves. Can you? Onesimus is like, uh-oh. I don't know if I want to hook up with this dude right here. But then what does Paul do? Paul begins to disciple him. Paul pours himself into Onesimus. And because Paul has poured himself into Onesimus and Onesimus has received it, can you imagine that when Paul told Onesimus, it's time for you to go back, and what Onesimus must have felt, but yet and still, he was submissive to Paul because he was the man of God. Now, we look at the situation, and I'm not saying Pastor Glaze. Let me take Pastor Glaze out of it. Man, I wish I didn't have to hold this mic this morning. I'm saying the word of God. That I'm directly submitted and accountable to the word of God. And if the word of God speaks to me about doing something, then I'm going to do what the word of God tells me to do. As hard as it might be, as hard as it was for Onesimus to go back and carry this letter, and there was also another guy with him, Tychicus, and they took a letter to the church of Colossae. You know, when you read Colossians, that's a prison epistle. So when Onesimus and Tychicus went back, they stopped at the church in Colossae. They dropped off a letter there, and then they went to the house of Philemon, and they dropped off a letter with Philemon. And as hard as that was for Onesimus to do, he submitted to what the man of God told him to do. And so he was working on the heart of Philemon. And he was saying to Philemon, look, you have everything that you need to receive this brother back. The prophet from mending the fences. The prophet in 11 through 14. Look what he says in 11. Who in times past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable unto thee and to me. Onesimus, those of you who are Bible scholars, some of you already know this, his name meant useful. Up until this point, he had been useless to Philemon, other than when he was serving as a servant, but now he ran away. He was in Rome somewhere, and he was absolutely useless to Philemon. Paul says that in times past, he was unprofitable to you, but now he is profitable. Let him come back and live up to his name. His name is useful. Let him come back and be useful. Let him come back and be of some use to you. And I'm going to tell you here, saints, that when relationships get right, man, there's just such a blessing that's inherent in right relationships. They're so useful. They're so beneficial. And so we see here that a useless servant became a useful brother. Notice what he said, and I read it earlier, verse 16. Not now, or go back to 15. Perhaps for he therefore departed for a season that thou should receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved. And so he was translated from a useless servant to a useful brother. And then we see that he was translated from a temporal servant to an eternal brother. Look what he said in verse 15. For perhaps he therefore departed for what? A season, but you should receive him forever. That he was gone for a little while. He departed for a little while. But now he's going to come back and he's going to be with you forever. Let me remind us that those who we have a hard time getting along with down here, we are going to spend eternity with in heaven. To live above with those we love, oh, that will be glory. But to live below with those we know, that's quite a different story. He said that this guy has been translated from a temporary servant to an eternal brother. That you guys have a soul bond. You have a soul connection that will not be broken for all eternity. You know, I wonder what heaven is going to be like when we get there, and especially, you know, I remember when I was in high school, there was another guy on the football team, and we would get into it all the time. And he was always trying to test me. And, you know, he's trying to bully me. And so, you know, he's constantly harassing me. And then one day we were in the locker room, and he came up to me and he wanted to fight. And I had a gym bag in my hand. Now, I don't recommend you do this at home. I had a gym bag in my hand, and he came at me, and I took the gym bag and I hit him right in his mouth. And he had a tooth that, I don't know, a blood vessel or something, but for the rest of his life, he had a tooth that turned purple. So I don't know if he took care of it. But let me tell you this. Me and that same guy, we both got scholarships to the same college. And we were roommates together in college. And now, you know, we had a great relationship. We had a blessed relationship. But see, at one time, you know, there was tension between us. But we worked all that out to the point where we, for 2 years, slept in the same room together. Paul said that he was a temporary servant, but he's going to be an eternal brother. What we got going on here? All right. All right, you kill that mic. I don't need a mic now. All right, he was a temporary servant, and now he was an eternal brother. Let me hurry on. The progress in mending the fences. First of all, we see a plea for reconciliation. Look at what he says in verse 17. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. He said, if you consider me your friend, if you consider me your partner, then just like you would receive me, I want you to receive Onesimus. And look at this, a promise of restitution. See, anytime a wrong has been committed, when reconciliation takes place, there has to be restitution. He says in verse 18, if thou have wronged thee, or if he have wronged thee or oweth thee anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thy own self besides. Paul made some kind of investment in Philemon's life, and he telling Philemon, look, man, you owe me. But you know what? I'm not gonna call the chips in. I'm going to appeal to your heart. I'm going to appeal to, let me go back. I'm going to appeal to, let me get this, right? I'm going to appeal to a loving heart, a realization of forgiveness, a heart filled with goodness, and a desire to minister to others. That's what I'm going to appeal to. And so Paul said that he didn't want anything to hinder, nothing to hinder Philemon from receiving and forgiving Onesimus. So he said, whatever debt he incurred, however he wronged you, put it on my account. And I'll take care of it when I come. And then I like this, a praise for refreshment. A praise for refreshment. Look what he said, verse 20. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. You know what he said? Bless my socks off. Let it be said that when Onesimus came back, that you opened up your arms, you opened up your heart, and you received him with everything. Man, bless my heart. Refresh me when he comes back. And I like what the King James said. Look at the King James said. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels. You know what the bowels are? The bowels are that which is deep within you, those organs that are deep within you. And you know how sometimes when you have to do something and you get nervous and you feel something deep down in your gut, that's your bowels deep down inside of you. Paul said, let my bowels be happy. Let my bowels rejoice in knowing that you did the right thing. And then He concludes with the picture of mended fences. He says in verse 22, the blessing. He says, at the same time, prepare also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. He said, look, I'm coming, man. He said, when I come, have me a room ready. Have me a room ready. Now, I don't want to be coming and there'll be some tension up in here. I don't want to come and you haven't forgiven this guy. I don't want to come down there and there'll be some mess. Don't start no mess, won't be no mess. Don't let me come down there. You know how your mother used to say, don't, if I have to come down there. Paul said, don't let me come down there and there'll be some mess. Just have my room ready. Just have my room ready when I come, because I'm staying with you, because I know you're going to do the right thing. The blessing. And then the brethren. These guys are in prison. But look what Paul says in verses 23 and 24. They're all in prison. But they're what? Their fences are mended between them. There, greet thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ. He was in jail with Paul. Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow worker. Not only were they fellow prisoners, but they were, Epaphras, but they were fellow workers. And there was a bond that took place between them. And so we see a picture of brothers dwelling together in unity. A true picture of mended fences, when prisoners and co-laborers can come together and work together for a common goal, for a common good. And then he closes with the benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. He wished grace. He wanted the grace of God to rest upon Philemon. And Philemon could reject the grace of God. Philemon could put off the grace of God if he refused to receive and forgive Onesimus, that he would not receive the grace of God. Some verses that I'm going to share with at some point, and let me close with these verses. Look at Psalm 133 as I close today. Psalm 133. And we'll hear more about these verses in coming messages. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. Like the dew of Hermon and like the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded his blessing, even life forevermore. As I close, Paul wished Philemon to be recipient of the grace of God. The psalmist says, where is the blessing of God at? Where is the blessing of God? He said in verse 3, there the Lord commands his blessing. Where is the blessing of God? You don't know? Go back to verse 1. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's where the blessing of God is. Mending the fences of broken unity.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Fence of Forgiveness from our series, Mending the Fences of Broken Relationships. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Mending the Fences of Broken Relationships, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Mending the Fences of Broken Relationships. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Mending the Fences of Broken Relationships. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. Find out more information about these resources, including his book titled Rebuilding the Fences of Broken Relationships, by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or call 877 877- 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.